What is up, everybody? Welcome to the 0 Hour Podcast, where we help you and your ministries navigate the biggest youth ministry shift in American history. Dude.
What's up?
How's it going?
It's going great, man. How are you?
Good. Nice. Hey, okay, this episode, Corey and Corey special, so...
Not confusing at all.
Corey with a K, a.k.a. Fresh Corey. That's you. They call me Smooth Corey.
Old Corey?
They call me Smooth Corey because there's another older Corey, so they call him Old Corey.
Okay.
And he goes OG Corey, but, well, he'll take what he can get, you know?
Yeah.
So it went from Old Corey to Smooth to Fresh.
That's what you. What did you say?
I said nothing.
That was so smooth.
I don't know.
Okay.
I just showed up, I stayed quiet, and I got Smooth Corey.
Let's go. The teenagers call that Riz.
Riz?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Like, okay, so.
You're just barely outside of a teenager, so
yeah,
tell me more.
Yeah. No. A 14-year-old was breaking this down for me the other day. So basically, you can seduce and or lure people without having to say a word. It's just by the look of your eyes or just
but
by
where
like,
does Riz come from? What is that?
I don't know what it's short for or where it came from, but having a silent Riz is just being attractable without having to say anything.
That can't be me.
So that's why you're smooth. Smooth Corey. They just don't have the
Riz.
They just don't have the vocabulary to really.
Is it like charisma and they're pulling it from that?
That's a good guess. I don't know. I highly doubt it.
Nope. Here it is. Riz is New York's, I haven't even read the full thing, so this is like completely unfiltered. The first thing that shows up on Riz, meaning R-I-Z-Z, is New York City slang created by YouTuber and Twitch streamer Kai Cenat. It refers to a, oh gosh.
You don't have to read the whole thing.
But. It refers to a male's ability to impress women, a.k.a. game, as per Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. But it doesn't.
So there you go.
I don't know where that comes from, though. Anyways, okay, let's roll, man. We're in on this, and we've said nothing of substance so far.
It's okay.
But yeah, man, I'm excited for this one just because I think this is, you know, as we were just discussing right before this, kind of what would we talk about? And, you know, one of the few things, at least in my time, even as a believer, that was like one of the biggest shifts was this whole concept of shifting just from an obedient or a knowledge-based kind of concept of, you know, in every way, like gaining more and more knowledge to actually living into rhythms of obedience. So
yes,
that, you know, especially when we're talking about disciple-making movements and any kind of principle around that, this is one of the leading things that finds its way into every single gathering space, every single meeting, every single tool, every, you know, like everywhere. That shift is one of the biggest ones that you'll find. So I think, you know, I'd love to hear just your perspective, you know, because you went through the pathway deal with us two years ago and have kind of fully come into, you know, being on op staff and being, you know, a leader within the 0 Hour stuff. And so I'd love to just hear your perspective, you know, just fresh, unfiltered, the fresh Corey unfiltered perspective of when we say that terminology from shifting from a knowledge-based discipleship to an obedience-based, what comes to mind for you?
I think what comes to mind for me is like my own just story of being developed of how that like is what Jesus wants like from us.
Yeah.
Is that sort of like, if you love me, then you will obey my commands.
Right.
And how that's always been obviously so like laid out in scripture, but it's like still secondary to knowing the right answers and whatnot. So that's something that I think was really kind of a more of a shift of like, obviously you need to obey Jesus and like, I knew that, of course, but still making that like the primary focus of how you like lead others and that it's not the knowledge based and whatnot. And so anyways, that I think that's something that's been huge for me. And I remember probably 2 or 3 years ago, when the scripture of you, like Jesus shepherding the sheep's from the goats. Yeah. You know, saying you like fed me when I was hungry, gave me something to drink when I was thirsty, you visited me in prison, and like therefore like you're my children, you're my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And then turning to the goats and saying you didn't visit me when I was in prison, you didn't give me something to eat when I was hungry, you didn't give me water when I was thirsty, and how that was how he was like separating
who was his actions and
who wasn't, was the people who was actually like loving those that he was called to love. And I had that verse just in different forms, like either in a book or a podcast or my friend Carson just like reading it to me out of nowhere about what they're talking about in class or whatever.
Wow.
And it was just like, I mean, absurd amount of times in like a few days that scripture was just getting hit at me.
Yeah.
And so I recognized that, like, okay, what does that actually mean? And like, what am I like, what does that like look like for me? And like, what am I not doing? And what, like, and I think it's easy to settle too. Like once in student ministry, to kind of bring it back, I think you see a lot of, I've seen a lot personally of students be like, I get it. Like, I know all the right answers.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
like, I know what I'm like, I know what Jesus did and I know who God is. And
yeah.
I know all the right Bible answers. Like, what's the point of coming to youth group? Or what's the point of going to church now? Or what's the point of like keep on reading the Bible if I already mm-hmm. kind of like know the stories necessarily? Yeah. And it's like, well, that's not the point. That's not what Jesus told us to do, is to know the right answers. So then, I don't know. So that's what it's all about. And then when even students have that in their mind, then it's hard to break free once you kind of know, when it is knowledge-based discipleship.
Yeah.
There, that can only go so far, I suppose.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I also think of when I was a high school kid, I always thought obedience was this piece of, like, clean up your life and do what's right.
Right.
Like, not sin was the concept more than it was, hey, Jesus, you know, and all the examples you just gave from what Jesus said were us basically taking care of the downtrodden and those that are on the outside and those that, like, we're supposed to love effectively, which is different than him saying, you did a really good job and you never looked at any pornography and you never had any drink of alcohol and you never smoked any weed or ripped on your vape pen. Like, that's not what he says are the sheep that, you know, he didn't talk about the, you know, omissions that they prevented. He talked about the actual reality of being loving and missional, like, which is a different thing. It's not that he wouldn't say, you know, but I think I would guess to say Jesus is counting more of the ways that we are trying to live for him than he is the ways that we're trying to prevent slipping up or messing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if he was the other way, then Peter would have never been his choice, you know. There would have been many examples where he just would have said, see you later, to all these people. You know, he was asking for lives of sacrifice and one that is, you know, actually missional. And then I was even thinking while you're talking, one of the verses that was coming to mind was actually the, on the flip side, you know, if somebody was going to be the, you know, like, hey, that's confusing, is the part where Jesus is saying, many will cast out demons in my name.
Yeah.
But I'll say they never knew me. And so there's even an element of like certain actions, even like that, that it's like, hey, like this, the uber spiritual type of looking person that is for the most part doing, you know, some miraculous things in Jesus' name also can be people who don't. So it's just interesting the way the things that Jesus counts, because it's oftentimes not the things that we are counting. Because we become obsessed with certain things, especially in the church world. You know, it's almost like the inner circle world becomes obsessed with certain ways that it's like, this is what means to really be a Jesus follower, you know. And I think oftentimes in student ministry, that's like, you go to all the worship gatherings.
Right.
You go to all the big Christian events. Like, you're posting on your story certain scripture verses. Like, it is, though.
No, you know 100%. What I mean? Like, I remember people talking about, like, oh, if you're bold, then you'll, like, have the Bible out when you go to school and, like, carry around with you wherever you go. And it's like, that means you're, like, you're, like, actually love God.
You've done
if you're
it.
Like, you're there.
You've done it. You've reached the zenith. So, you know, but I think when we talk about this principle, it's really important that the way that we are helping our students navigate is not just allowing them to sit and consume. And everybody knows that reality, right? But how many times and ways and things are we actually putting into practice helping circle back on how it is they're doing with this piece of going and making disciples and actually living into obedience, and even obedience that they set? You know, it can be things just as simple as like, I'm not going to curse at my sibling. I'm not going to, or I am going to pray X amount of times, or I am going to actually be in the Word on a daily basis and follow through with my Bible reading plan. You know, like whatever that thing is, making sure that they circle back on it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to leave it as a cliffhanger there, because that's really the element of what we're talking about. That's the heart of what we're getting at with the shift from knowledge to obedience. And, you know, we're going to do several interviews moving forward. They're going to capture a lot of that conversation. So, you know, we're going to do another episode on this, but we just wanted to kind of lay that introduction out so that you know the next series of multiple interviews we do are going to be around that concept. So we hope you'll come back, stay tuned for that, and hear other youth pastors and ways that they're implementing this. And if you're a youth worker, we would, or youth pastor, whatever, we just would love to connect with you. So if you're interested at all in being on the podcast, shoot us a DM, like, or just reach out to us via email. You can just email me, Corey@zerohourministries.org, Corey with a C, and it's also not Riz Corey. I'm going to start using that, dude. But yeah, thanks for listening to this one, the intro, and excited to kind of hear what else comes out of this conversation.
I'm excited. Let's do it.
Pumped.
Let's go.
Okay.